All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? I'm Scott from Koenig, and we are here at the SEMA show. And I am here with the famous.
Oh, yes.
The very famous.
Oh, yes.
As famous as we come.
Oh, yes.
Pete and Dave from Speed Academy.
We've been getting mobbed at SEMA all day.
Yeah, right.
Non-stop.
I know. You know, I saw you trying to beat people off and make sure that,
form a line, people. If you want a selfie, get in line. That's our motto.
Well, yeah. Actually, TJ Hunt pales in comparison to what we draw, the crowd we draw.
Right, so. I understand. Well, listen, it's hard, too, because you guys are so mobile, kind of moving all over the hall, trying to capture everything
not
that you need.
It's true. Not easy to catch us.
Yeah, right.
It's the black shirt.
Stay a moving target.
Right. Yeah, it's like SEMA camouflage. You really need it. That's our goal when we're trying to walk through. The good thing is with me is that they people only tend to run after me with a sponsorship proposal in their hand.
Yeah, we don't get that so much.
Well, yeah, good for you.
I think people know it's because, as YouTubers, we're not making a whole lot of money.
Right.
So, you know, chances
are
we're
not going to. They ask us how to get to you to get sponsored.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
We're the middleman now.
Right. Yeah. They're like, is there any hookup you guys have with Koenig?
Guys, we love your content, but
pretty much.
I get some Koenig wheels.
Yes. Right. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel, too. So there's so much SEMA content that's going on, and we can talk about SEMA and all the things you guys are trying to capture kind of while you're at the show. But I think that instead of doing that, really talking about kind of you guys, like, what's going on for 2020? Like, where are we going? You have anything cool lined up?
We've got some really cool stuff.
It's gonna be a big year. Big year.
Can't tell you anything about it.
We're trying.
It's all top secret.
I can give you
sneak peek.
A little,
next question.
Yes.
Can our 400 viewers get a little sneak peek?
For sure.
You know what's gonna happen? One of them's gonna like leak it to the interwebs.
Yeah, that's right.
It's gonna get out there. But we're working on focusing our channel more on, I'm going to say, Japanese cars.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've come up with this theme of JDM Legends.
Okay.
So we want to build...
Ooh, I like this.
Very popular, dare I say, Halo cars in the next 6 months. So there's going to be a lot of...
fanboy stuff.
Fanboy stuff. We're going deep into the JDM knowledge base.
Yes.
You know what?
We're going full fanboy.
The cars that, you know, JDM fanboys really want, we're going to try to build...
Yes.
This couldn't make me happier, and I'll tell you why. Because we all come... We've known each other for a long time, all of us.
Yeah.
Right? It has to be 14 years or in that area.
Yeah, for sure it is.
And so we are all on that same age bracket where we like the same...
Whoa.
All right, listen. Dave gets come... He's in our age bracket. It just happens.
Just on the outer edges of that bracket. That's right.
That beard.
No, man. The beard is the source of all my power. Yeah, shave this off and it's over.
I was hoping if I shaved my beard, I would lose 150 pounds. But what happens is that doesn't seem to be reality. But we come from the same age bracket where we all have that same nostalgic cars at this point.
Sure.
Right?
Yes, for sure.
Like, even, you know, we're right, and I don't know how you feel, but I'm right at that stage that even though when I was coming up, I was a DSM guy and maybe not a Honda guy, I still have this thing about if I can really find a clean EG shell, or if I can just get myself...
Every day we talk about that.
Yeah, right. If I could find a Type R, or even if I could find a clean LS at this point, you know, I would take it and really... And so I have this laundry list of cars. In fact, my wife criticizes me, and she says... You know, if we would ever actually have money, you'd probably keep the same house and you just turn the backyard into like a 40-foot car hanger.
As you should.
And she's accurate. The only thing she's missing is that every single one of those cars probably wouldn't run.
And
no,
know?
Because you'd have the money to buy the thing.
No.
But see,
that's never been my thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My thing has always been taking the cars... And building them, like, because I
and
think
it's the same with us.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
I know that.
I mean, all these Halo cars that we're stockpiling that Peter doesn't want to tell you about are not tip-top examples. Well, one of them is a tip-top example.
Yeah.
The other three are pretty rough, so they're going to be fixer-uppers because that's what we do.
The one car we can mention too is we bought an Evo 6.
Yes.
So that's one of the vehicles we're going to be building to battle against our STI.
That's
so
interesting.
Evo STI.
Why?
Classic rivalry.
Why a six? My guess is readily available.
Actually,
I think the six is the rarest.
It might
of
be.
Evos,
it might be.
In my opinion, because the fives are pretty.
I like the fives.
More readily available, but the six was that kind of car that people liked, but they didn't really, I think, produce in mass. I don't know.
I don't know right. the numbers on it. Yeah, I'm not sure.
The 6, to me, is the best-looking Evo. 5 owners will say you're crazy. Mm-hmm. I like the 6
I understand.
Over the 5. The 7.
The 6
well, but the 7 is the 8. Like,
the 7
they're
is
not
the 8.
The
that's
same?
Right.
That's
they're,
like a slap in
they're
the face
very,
to Evo
they're very similar, though. Let's be honest.
Very well, it's the same chassis.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
But they've updated some stuff.
They have. They have. Yeah. They have. So why a 6? Honestly, our SDI that we're putting up against is an 09, I believe.
Yep, 09.
So
now
we
that's
looked at
that,
something
that's the,
about that
that's
same
the
age.
Gray hatch, right?
That's
yes.
the it's like a dark blue gray.
Right, that was the 5-door.
That's right. Yeah. 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 So we wanted to build something to compete against that car in a classic Evo SDI okay. type of configuration, okay. and we looked at all the options. We looked at 10s. We looked at 7, 8, 9s. But ultimately, we thought the 6, like the 5-6, has a cool factor right now that we both appreciated and
well yeah
and they are affordable. Like what did we get ours for?
10 grand, which is very cheap.
So and that's probably more to do with the fact that you guys are based out of Canada.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
like
right.
in the US yeah, that would be
legally,
a much more
you can't legally buy that in the US so.
Yeah. Yeah, and then besides that, even if it was past that 25-year import yeah. range, I think the cost on it here would be so much
be
higher.
Double. Yeah.
Because,
be
I mean, if you looked at the R32 Christ, man, they have really skyrocketed here in the States.
Yeah, what are they going for here now?
A lot.
Yeah.
You know,
much.
I mean, it's, yeah,
it's
and
crazy.
So.
For us, we were buying those cars 5 years ago.
I know.
For 10 grand.
Yeah.
Canadian. Yeah. Like $8,000
like
US.
$4
Can you
US.
Buying
yeah.
a GTR R32 for 8,000 US dollars?
No, in fact, I mean, they're 25, crazy. 30 grand
yeah.
now. And the problem is that I have as a, and don't hate me for this, right? But, like, they're cool cars.
Yes.
They're not worth that much money. Like, if you're what you're driving, like, if you said to me, like, when we start to talk about R34s, when we talk about even R33s, even though people argue about body style
yes,
choices,
yes.
They're different cars.
Yeah,
they
and
are. The R32 is still, it's still like driving an early Japanese car. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It is. I would struggle
cars.
With that because
you know
they were so cheap
yeah,
for us 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Right.
It's hard to see the prices now and think, how is it worth that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a sign of what's happening right now with like the rise of the Japanese classic car market.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, you get a couple cars on Bring a Trailer and that go to auction that sell for big bucks, and now everybody thinks those cars are starting to be worth that. Like I think Jay Leno published this thing where he was comparing a bunch of cars and he had Larry Chen's R32 on there and he valued it at like $90,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like that just kind of like pushes it. We're looking for an NSX.
Well,
as
all
a,
right.
Like, as a you know bottom tier beat up one,
the cheapest one we can find, and even that's like 35 grand and up.
Canadian,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Here, I keep getting guys sending me messages like, "Oh, here's one for 46,000, you know, US. Here's one for 35 US." And I'm looking at these things, and you know, you're not buying a good quality
no.
example. You're buying bottom of the barrel. That's a lot of money
yep.
for a
yep.
car that you know I think is awesome. Like Dave's driven one.
Oh,
and,
I love them. Yeah, they're incredible.
Yeah, they're great cars.
But is it that much money? Maybe it is, and here we are just saying
yeah.
they're not, right?
Yeah.
Like
you know,
5 years from now, they could be 100.
It's, what with, it's worth what the market tells you what it's worth, ultimately.
Yeah,
like if people are willing to pay that much money for it, that is what it's worth.
Yeah.
If you look at that time period, though, that was one of those chassis, one of those platforms that really was ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah,
oh.
yeah. 100%.
And, you know, I mean, if you had put that car, that same car, into other pedigrees, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you put it into other places, the value on it could have fetched much higher. It just at the time, Acura, that was like their first
supercar,
real,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know,
like, yeah.
mid-engine. It is.
It is a supercar
right.
from its era.
It,
yeah.
it outperformed
right.
the Ferraris
yeah.
and Lamborghinis of that
yeah.
era,
yeah.
and it did it reliably,
yeah.
which is incredible.
And what's incredible is if you really put forced induction on that car,
mm-hmm.
that thing goes from like.
Oh yeah!
I mean, just
world
class
performance.
You just do a turbo K swap, and
yeah.
you're
yeah,
golden.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, but you're gonna have a lot of purist hate there.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
We love that though.
Yeah,
but
and that's, that C motor is a honey of a motor too. I, having never driven one on the track prior to this summer, I think underappreciated that engine because on paper it doesn't look that great, like
right.
260
right.
horsepower, whatever it is.
Right.
But it's got a really broad torque band. It makes a beautiful noise. It's like a baritone Honda.
Yeah.
Still got that VTEC noise to it, but it's deeper. It's really an appealing sound. And in that chassis, it feels really well balanced. It just feels right for that car. So
right.
I'd love to do like an NA build on one of those motors. Just
yeah.
like add 40 or 50 horsepower.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
But
yeah.
Without adding all the complexity of a turbo setup or a supercharger setup and the heat management. Like heat management in a mid-engine car is a challenge.
And,
well,
and
right, the airflow,
said
right?
About just a naturally aspirated,
yeah,
car, right? Like,
especially with Honda engines,
track and the instant throttle response, and
yeah.
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So you may
it's
see us show up with an NSX sometime, but
Well, that it would be dope.
It's on our hit list for sure. This to go back to the whole like JDM Legends idea, like building this garage of Japanese Halo cars that we can, you know, eventually put head-to-head battles, do like best motoring style competitions with them, and like, have fun with the whole fleet of cars together. You can kind of imagine what some of those cars would be, and some of them live in our garage now under a blanket that will be unveiled in the new year. So,
plus, you're going to tell me them all as soon as we get off camera.
Of course we are. Yeah,
right,
we are.
So it's going to be fine. So I'll know and you won't.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and they're, you know, it's going to be challenging to build them in a way where they're still of interest to people that didn't necessarily grow up with them, didn't like fanboy on them the way we did when we were younger. So that'll be, I think, be the challenge, is to like, you know, make them classic JDM builds but still appeal to it.
Yeah, and I think our whole motto is always to build them as realistic cars, right?
There's
You know, SEMA is a great example of cars that aren't realistic, but they grab attention, they get numbers, and our whole motto is always like, you know, to build these cars that you would want to drive on the street, you want to use at the racetrack, so they don't have 900 horsepower.
Yep.
We shoot for lower numbers, and then, but it doesn't necessarily get the wow factor.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So, it's interesting because, like, you know, it's, again, going back to the age bracket thing, right? Like, I remember being a kid and, well, kid, I mean, you know, younger, and like, you know, like, I was a big DSM guy, right? And so that was really in, and obviously the cars that we're talking about were the cars that were in our relevant range. That was our current cars, right?
Yeah.
But I even remember then, like, I always had this kind of, you know, this kind of love that I wanted to build things like a Celica. Mm-hmm. And, like,
oh,
you know.
Oh,
like,
you mean a Celica?
I'm throwing the terms in. I don't have my shirt, you know. But, but like, you know, I always had this thing about, you know, building a 72 Celica or, you know, that had the smiley bumpers or trying to get a Corolla, you know, an older Corolla or a 510 or, you know, and so those cars for me were the ones I was searching out that at that time, it was weird. It was like the really good ones were worth a lot of money for me then.
Yeah.
But you could find a lot of ones that were still coming off their track days that were beat to holy crap.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now if I had bought the ones that I could have gotten for $5,000 or $6,000,
oh, man.
Yeah,
they'd
be
worth a ton of money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If we all could go back in time,
no
I'd
kidding.
Stock the R32s and 911s.
Mark IV Supras you could have bought for $5,000 a pop back then.
Yeah.
It's interesting though, like the classic Japanese stuff, like, you know, the 70s stuff is so popular now. Like we've seen a ton of them at the show here. There's even a proper Celica at the show.
Celica, I like it.
Downstairs. And, you know, he put an LS in it, which has caused some controversy amongst the Toyota loyalists.
I mean, it's giving me hives.
But it's a beautifully built car, and I've really enjoyed watching that sort of resurgence in classic Japanese cars as a guy who is trying to build one, desperately trying to finish it. We just don't seem to have time to give her much attention right now. But
so, yeah, it kills me, because I had a 72 Celica. And I actually sold it because I was like, my wife got pregnant with our son a second time. And I was like, well, I haven't touched it in a year and a half, and I'm definitely not going to. But like, I had sourced out, I had an 18RG engine for it. It had to be rebuilt, but like, like I had the parts for it, and the shell wasn't great, and it really needed, you know, to be DA'd and totally repainted, and the dash clearly was cracked to Holy Kingdom Come. But, you know, it's still one of those things that I wish I had had extra space for, because I think if I was able to store it without it rotting or rusting, you know, we're in the Northeast, so we experience the same weather dilemma, right?
I mean, at least we have the space to store my Celica. She's not going to rot away on us anytime soon.
And you did a great job with that car.
It's coming along. It's coming along. It really, at this point, it just needs paint
and
then reassembly and put an interior in it.
Yeah.
When we first started building it, I gutted it and I took all like the sound deadening and stuff out of it because I was thinking I was going to use it more at the track than on the street. I don't know why I was thinking that.
I understand.
But now
I get that.
Mistake. I've already started shifting his mind.
I know.
I know.
But the hard part is I get that, right? Because there is always this thing. Like, every car I build that I had built up until probably the most recent car that I have now, which I've had for like 10 years now, right? Every car I did, the first thing I wanted to do is rip out the AC, take everything that was comfortable about the car out of the car, because somehow I had this thing that it made it better, lighter, more like
raw.
And I was like, and the more simple it got it, I just, for some reason, there gave me a great deal of satisfaction in taking apart an engine harness to take out every wire that absolutely wasn't necessary.
Right.
And when I think about it right now, I'm like, that was dumb.
It's because you're trying to like relive your
youth. Yeah,
that's what you did back then. You didn't have money for stuff. You're like, like, oh, I'm going to make this look as race car. And then you could tolerate it, but now...
The residents.
Oh, my God.
Like,
you're in a tin pan.
And now that you took out all the sound editing, you're probably looking for Dynamax sources.
I've already sourced a whole pile of it from DEI. We are putting it all back in. I've ordered a carpet kit.
Yeah.
We're going to plug the sunroof hole up and make it nice inside, because I'd really like to enjoy it on the street. I'll still take it to the track.
Can you do like a sunroof delete that's kind of removable, like a panel? Or are you gonna do a full weld in?
I'm going to weld something in, yeah.
Because you know who would be great for this?
No.
Jason Whitfield.
Oh, yeah?
He builds a ton of sheet metal stuff.
Really?
And, like, his son, like, they do a lot of that stuff. And I bet you he can build you. You can give him, some sort of cardboard template, send it up, fold it to him. And you can actually give him the structure and stuff. Oh, yeah. They're amazing. I don't know.
English
I totally forgot
that.
We were on camera here.
it's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a challenge. I actually I haven't picked it up yet, but I bought a complete roof skin from a salvage car.
Okay.
And those roofs are actually like tack welded on just at the pillars.
Right.
So you drill out those welds and you can take the whole roof skin off and plop it back on again. We may just cut out the section from that donor skin and weld it into my roof, because my roof's in really good shape other than the big hole in it. So we'll have to decide if we want to do that or not. Either job is big-ish and you don't want to warp the roof by welding on it. That's the biggest.
That's why I think if
challenge.
You guys can do like an aluminum plug that actually had removable like clips or tabs, you know,
or
it would be
a plug is a possibility too.
Or you can do what some of the other YouTube channels are doing because we know you love that so much.
Yeah, we do.
And you can get into full on building composites, and I'm sure that you can build your whole carbon fiber roof and show everybody how to do it so
that's
easily.
A great idea. Well, actually, if you go to our website, speed.academy, we did a whole thing building a carbon fiber splitter. So we have done some composites work.
Scares the crap out of me.
We've succeeded at it, unlike some other people. So we could
listen to me.
No, it wasn't you.
No, I'm telling you, it was me. I tried.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago, I had this thing that I could do this, and it was awful.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a hard job.
And let me tell you something. You know, those bags... You don't realize what a challenge they can be until there's resin pouring all over your floor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, anyhow.
And the time. So
it's a very labor-intensive, dirty job. So, yeah.
And there's so many steps.
There are.
And I think once you're proficient at it.
Mm-hmm. That's it, exactly.
Yeah. Like, you know what the steps are. You know how to do it. You kind of know where your problem areas are. Mm-hmm. You know how to draw the resin through the entire panel and make it smooth radiuses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that, so I had a pile of crap and I spent a lot of money.
And that's the problem. If you make mistakes with carbon fiber, you're out a bunch of money.
Yeah. Oh, a grip of money. Yeah.
And a bunch of time and effort. It can be demoralizing for sure. I mean, even a guy like 3D Magic Mike, who you probably follow on Instagram.
Sure.
Like when he started making carbon parts for his Datsun truck, even he was failing at it. And that guy's a genius.
Yeah.
So to see him struggle, and he consulted with like, the best people in the industry, and he mastered it pretty quickly. Like his stuff now is incredible.
Right.
But for him to struggle at first with it, you know, an average home garage guy is going to have a tough time with it. So.
Oh yeah.
If I was to put a carbon plug in the Celica, I'd have a friend do it.
Right.
We have a few carbon buddies in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I like your idea of a removable aluminum panel. That's an interesting idea. Anyway.
That's what we're bringing here. It's all the ideas.
Random
thoughts
brought to you by Scott.
Yes, right. That's pretty much all the thoughts that you'll have from me. I don't really bring much substance. I only bring these random pieces of...
Don't sell yourself short.
Well, you know, that's how it goes. But...
So you may see the old girl get finished this year. We really hope to get it painted and running and driving. And we've been talking about a cool idea for a final episode on the Celica where we would do it as like a, maybe an hour-long sort of like a feature-style film.
Okay, yeah.
Where instead of it being episodic like it has been so
right,
far.
Right, 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 right.
You just see the rest of the build in one sitting with us maybe at the end taking it to the tail of the dragon or doing something cool like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of our way of just freshening the approach to a build, just wrap that build up in a different way than we have traditionally.
Do you think you can add a scene that's like a little bit more high production that has like
exactly.
a crossover between Jackass and a Hoonigan thing where like you drive through from fire and some fireworks maybe?
Man. These are all winning ideas.
Hyperdrive.
Yeah, hyperdrive. Yeah.
I mean, I think you're getting a little out of control now.
No, we have access to a local racetrack and we're just like, how do we build a hyperdrive course here? And,
yeah.
Do the YouTube variant of that, but
because I'm sure your local track they don't need that space at all.
No.
They're
right.
actually amazingly open to crazy ideas there. So I don't know that I would want to expose my forever car to that kind of abuse though. So I'm thinking a nice cruise on the tail of the dragon may be the way to go with her. But
yeah,
And maybe I'll drag Pete down there with his 911.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't seen that car in a while.
Just don't get too happy with the throttle because I watched a video this morning of somebody stuffing a brand new A90 into a tree because they were tuning the car and just laid into it, and the car went.
Oh, yeah. Cold tires.
That car is a handful at the limit, man. She's snappy. And I wish there were more of them here at SEMA, by the way. We haven't seen hardly any Supras.
Right, there's no... Yeah, I haven't seen any, so...
No, but, not even around here.
No, there's none.
No.
But, you know, listen, I mean, one day somebody will put one in their booth.
Yeah, true.
And when they do...
And when that happens, we'll be there covering it.
We will,
on our YouTube channel.
And really hope it's a yellow one. I do love
The yellow.
Oh, yeah, yellow's nice. Yeah. Yellow's nice. Well, I mean, you know, hey, listen, everybody can hope, you know?
Yep. Yes.
So,
dreams.
That's cool.
Gotta have dreams.
Have you driven the A90?
Many times now, yeah. We went to the launch down at Summit Point. And,
You did that whole Toyota thing.
We did the Toyota launch. And then we've had a press car in Toronto that we took to the track. And we had Jackie Ding at the track with us as well. So we tried a modified version of it. And it's a fantastic car. I mean, it's incredibly fast in a straight line from 0 to 100 miles an hour. It is a rocket ship.
Yeah.
As everyone knows, it's way underrated on power.
Yeah.
And it's a pure sports car. They built a pure sports car. I don't care who built it.
I didn't even take it down that road.
I'm just grateful that it's actually a real driver's car. And you know what it feels like to me? It reminds me a lot of the S2000. So it's a very pointy car. It's very twitchy.
Rotates well?
It rotates very aggressively. It'll go to angles, bigger angles, much faster than, say, the Toyota 86 does.
Okay.
So it's less forgiving. It's less of a, like, a learner car than, say, the 86 is.
Okay.
Which is a great way to learn to drive rear-wheel drive, I think, is an 86 is. It's so trustworthy at the limit. Where this car will bite you, and it's got a lot of tire, but once you overdrive the tire, she snaps on you. But it's got huge potential. I'm really excited to just not only see these guys going fast drag racing it. Guys are in the tens already on stock turbos.
Oh, I know.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to see how like Jackie Ding does with it, and like how much potential it has as a time attack platform or a road racing platform.
Right.
So I was nerding out over the GT4 version of it down at Toyota's booth here. So
right.
I love it. I think it's a sports car is being built in 2020 when everyone's talking about Teslas. You need a Tesla in your booth, by the way. You got to do that next year.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Yeah.
So, listen, I think EV performance is really on the verge. And so we had paired up with Napoleon Motorsports this year. They did the first electric Formula Drift car. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that there was a substantial amount of hate that came along with that car.
Really?
Oh,
they threw hate. But here's the thing. I think people need to understand that embracing car people, mm-hmm. embracing motorsport enthusiasts and, you know, and car enthusiasts as a whole is really important. So just because it doesn't have the traditional noise, and I got to admit, I went for a little spinny.
Okay.
And it is weird that when you drive, all you hear is like rocks kicking up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's odd. And you know, are you going to ask me what my preference is, like what I'd rather drive? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we know it's right. But I also still struggle with a little bit of buying a car that's not, like a sports car that's not a manual. So mm-hmm. I get into the Supra and I think it's a great driving car.
Yeah.
But I struggle with a little bit that I don't feel like I'm being as active as I want to be.
Yeah, for sure.
But that doesn't change this driving car. Anyhow, so I think EV market, it's going to get bigger and bigger. We have more companies rolling into this EV area.
Our friend Sasha... He runs
that's on point.
On point.
So the 350, the 350, yeah.
350Z now is a hybrid car, so it's actually getting,
is that right?
Yes. Yeah. You haven't keeping up on our videos.
You know what the thing is? Like this whole little thing here takes a little bit of time.
Does it? Oh, okay.
And we also had some new wheels that were dropping, so make sure you check those out.
Okay, so you've been doing some things. All
right. I like tune in and like watch some things, but you're right.
No, but anyway, so he is building, I think, the world's first hybrid race car to a certain extent. He's got a 350Z. He's got this naturally aspirated motor that
built by Jim Wolf.
Yeah.
Yes.
And which
insane, like 520 wheel horsepower naturally aspirated.
And now he's taking that and adding, I think it was 200 horsepower with an electric motor.
Yes.
Sandwiched in between a transmission and the engine.
Yeah.
So
it replaces the clutch.
All right. Now I know what I have to watch.
Yes.
As soon as I leave the show.
There's questions that you'll come up with, like, oh, without a clutch, how does the motor disengage?
He explains it all.
He's got all that figured out.
Yeah.
So I just saw an update on it. He has mounted it. It's in the works right now.
Yeah.
So, and that guy gets stuff done fast. So, but getting back to what he actually does as well is he runs company that is dedicated for the Tesla market, Model 3 stuff. Mm-hmm. He builds performance parts for them. So,
right.
And like his Tesla has gone, how fast around? I don't even know. Laguna Seca, like
it's faster than most like sports cars. It's faster than the new Supra around a road course. Right. It's impressive how fast it is.
And that's just with a bunch of suspension tuning.
Yeah,
like he's got arms and whatnot.
Yeah,
and
wheels and tires, brakes too.
Motec system that disables the traction control.
Yeah.
And stability.
It's pretty incredible.
It's incredible. And that stuff is coming, and whether you know you want to hate on it or not, it's coming, and it's good to see that innovation because you want that, right? Like, we want in 20 to 50 years to still have, you know, people being excited about automobiles and not just all autonomy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think people don't understand is that like, you can not like this platform at all, but like you know, let's and you know, I don't know what the time frame is. You know, there's a lot of
nobody does.
Well, right, and there's a lot of guessing between when you try to take some of the things that governments have tried to implement, like the Green Acts and stuff like that. But it's no secret, whether you're walking around here or whether you're kind of doing your own research, OEs have dedicated more and more resources to moving towards EV platforms, and this will be something in the future. So the question is, when you get to that point where EV is I don't want to say dominant, but has a much larger offering in the in the OE segment, are you still going to support automotive enthusiasts that want to use those vehicles to get on the track with?
Yeah.
So
I look forward to the electric hot rodding. I'm excited about it. I mean, having played with some of Sasha's cars and driven some other electric cars, the performance you can get out of electric motor is incredible.
It is wild.
You can't believe how hard they accelerate until you've actually been in one.
And it's like an on-off switch.
It really is.
You touch that pedal and you go.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's wild.
I look at it too, they lack a little bit of character. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
Yeah, all right.
New cars, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I still love the 90s Japanese cars because they are analog, but they have just enough digital, modern
injection,
timing to really improve the driving experience, but they still have this character to them. And I find, as we go into the electric era age, it's not like you're going to be saying, oh, well, this electric motor is worse than that one.
Yeah,
I can tell the difference because it is also instantaneous. Mm-hmm. It is this flat torque band. So, to be devil's advocate, I still love the modern combustion engine.
Yep.
But I'm all for that stuff too, right? Like, it would be great to have one of those cars to drive, or let it drive me to work, and then I can work on my, old Toyota Supra.
Your dinosaur burning.
But it's kind of like when you get that car, you get that new stock car, and you're like, all right, you got to start, kind of drives, too cushy, right?
Yeah.
And then you put that suspension in, really stiffen it up, put a good, real decent spring rate in there, dial up the dampening. Hit the road and your teeth are rumbling out and you're like, all right, now I got that feel I'm looking for. It's kind of like that. But
it's a few weeks and then you want to go back to a softer setup if you're getting it.
Well, no, that's our age bracket.
Yes, again. Exactly right.
Every other kid is he's bouncing around town with his teeth chattering in his head and they love it. And I don't blame you because I've been there. But I don't know. So listen, I won't hold you too much.
Yeah.
I know you guys have a lot to do.
Got some footwork to put in here.
That's right. We got to get our steps in.
Got to get our 21,000 steps in today.
Got to get our videos published. That's really what it comes down to.
That's right.
Otherwise, we'd just be chilling here all day.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm not even chilling here all day. But listen, I appreciate you guys coming on and kind of wrapping to our 400 people here.
Yeah. Hi, everyone.
Maybe it'll be 500 by the time we get done with this.
Right.
It's incredible. I can't wait. all right. So let me close this out. If you like this thing, go ahead, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. They know what to say. You guys are pros at this.
Do those things that he said.
Right. Do those things. And we'll catch you on the next one. For more info on the podcast, head over to koenigwheels.com/podcast. And we'll catch you next time.